Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, and sounding more and more like myself every day. It's still weird, though. It's like, still not 100%, man. I've been dealing with this for like 2 weeks now. But I don't know what the deal is, but yeah, I'm missing minor symptoms now. But yeah, it's good to be more like yourself. This is the last thing I'm doing on Tuesday. Been a long day. Had to run the spa the last couple days. I'll run it again tomorrow. The bride is in Arkansas, loving on the grandkids. I think she was a little bit jealous about me having a chance to see them this weekend. But no, seriously, she deserves a break, and I'm happy to do it. The schedule works out where I'm able to do that, and that's part of being a partnership, right? Had some Boneyard listeners come and float. Gave away a few floats. You know, I joked about that on the show. I really wasn't joking. We gave away 3 on Twitter and 3 on Facebook. I think we actually ended up giving away 8. And so I had some of our students come and float today that were followers on Twitter and listeners of the Boneyard. I'd like to thank them both. Glad they had a great experience. You could have a great experience too. Visit truerest.com. Get more information. We're about to begin some renovations too. About to add some new services. Met with a contractor today. Will, my guy at Tabor, love him to death, man. Him and Jetty, they did our build out, their crew. I can't say enough great things about those guys and the service that they presented to us. And so whenever we got to thinking about this new service, you know, we had to do some renovation. We're going to have to. There was only one call to make, and that was to Will. And I hit him up today, and I said, hey, you think you can come by here today or tomorrow? He's like, I can come right now. I'll be there in 10. Yeah, that's the quality of service. That's not even a paid solicitation. That's just neighbors taking care of neighbors, man. I can't say enough great things about Tabor and about Will and Jetty specifically. They just, we had a dream. They made it become a reality. And so we're going to be bringing this thing called the Vitality Suite. So we're adding, you know, we've got plenty of room. You know, we're in the old frame shop there. And one of the reasons that I wanted that location is it gave us some room to expand when the time came. Well, business has been good. So we're going to be expanding our services. So the Vitality Suite, basically, to sum it up, it's that conversion therapy, if you're familiar with that. So you get it like the dry sauna for like 10 minutes, and then you go get in the cold plunge for like 10 minutes, and then you go back, and you go back, and you go back, and you go back. So it's like an hour of that. And so we're going to be bringing that to Stark Vegas. And then we got some other stuff down the road that we're going to do in that back area. You know, you can't do it all at once. And you got to, you know, make sure that you can kind of handle what you're doing, you know, before you bite off more than you can chew. But yeah, man, thanks for nearly 2 great years at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. If you're a person that suffers from chronic anxiety or, you know, pain or something like that, or you just want to get a break, and that was what, that's a cool thing too. It's like what I love is like when the mom and daughter come and they drag dad along, and dad's thinking it's like it's just for women. It's not. I mean, Steph Curry and Tom Brady have True Rest Float Spa pods in their homes. Joe Rogan, also a floater, for those of you that know. But I love it when dad's just kind of sitting there like, what did I get dragged into this? And then, like, he's the first one out. And the look on his face, like, he can't believe it. He goes, that was really good. Yeah. That's kind of how it was today with some of our freebies. They wanted to try it. And they walked out. Man, it was a great experience. I want to do that again. I think you will too. And there's a reason that I wanted to bring this to Starkville, and it was really for all of you. I wanted you to have the opportunity to experience this right here in Starkville. And when we got ready to open that business, you know, the real estate people were like, hey, you probably should put this thing in Madison, or you probably should put this in Tupelo. And I was like, no, we live in Starkville. and we're going to make Starkville a better place. So it's Starkville or nothing. Well, it's Starkville. And I can tell you, some people have gotten to know my wife a little bit and realize how well that I married. And that's been kind of cool, too, you know, to kind of see her have the opportunity to, number one, have a little less stressful job. She worked for manually 20 years as a nurse, mainly an overnight nurse. And, you know, she came home one day and she said, you know, babe, overnight nursing is a young nurse's game. And I'm ready to get out of this. And so I began to kind of look for a landing spot. And here we are. And so now here we are about to expand our services. We'd love to have you. And you can come. You can text or call Dana at 662-268-7601 and learn a lot more about floating and what it can do for you. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We have for a long time. I'm going to have some Bulldog Burger Company this week before I leave for Fayetteville. I know exactly what I want to eat when I get to Fayetteville. I know exactly what I want to eat before I leave Starkville, and that's Bulldog Burger Company. I can guarantee you there are people within your circle of influence. When you ask them where they want to eat, they're going to mention Bulldog Burger Company too. And why do they do that? Because it's great. Great food, great price, great service, great locations, great ambiance. You can have an adult beverage if you desire. You can get that chocolate shake to go, which is a must. Find your own favorites when you come in. As I say many times, you can't go wrong just going with the signature Bulldog Burger. I mean, like if you only ate those the rest of your life, you will have lived a great life. But if you want to expand your horizons a bit, maybe get that Pimentology, add bacon, maybe get the Smokehouse, just kind of rock it up a little bit and get those spring rolls as your appetizer that make you and everybody around you better looking. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. If you live in the Golden Triangle area, it's not a football game weekend in town this weekend, so maybe just slip on over to Stark Vegas and enjoy some time at Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. Okay. By the time that you guys hear this show, you all will have read what everything Bobby Petrino had to say about Mississippi State, what some of the players had to say about Mississippi State. So, you know, that's an important aspect of it. But let's get a little dig a little deeper into the Razorbacks. As you guys know, they made a coaching change mid-season, which has become very much in vogue, right? That's, you know, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, but that has become a big thing. You know, as I've said on the show before, a lot of it's about, you know, third-party dollars, right? You can't afford to have people check out on your season and boycott games. But, yeah, the Sam Pittman era lasts basically, you know, 5.5 years, and he ends up 32-34. He ends up 14-29 in conference, and, of course, that first conference win came against us in 2020. We remember it well. He had one top 20 finish during his time there, and had four bowl games, and of course everybody kind of went by default in 2020. But a 3-0 record in bowl games. They didn't play the one in 2020. They opted out of Texas Bowl. But in the three bowl games that were played, that's an Outback and two Liberties, they won them. And one of those happened last year. Let's take a quick look back at last year. As much as we may not want to when it comes to that Mississippi State game, but they open up the year with a 70-0 win over Arkansas Pine Bluff. No surprise there. They played that game in Little Rock. And then they traveled to Stillwater, Oklahoma, and they had the game won and then ultimately lose 39-31. Nobody in Starkville is going to cry any tears over that after what we've endured the last 3 weeks. The next week, they take care of UAB in a very interesting game, an afternoon game up there in Razorback Stadium, the first of the season last year. And ultimately, they win 37-27. But a lot of people were upset. It's like, you know, hey, we're 2-1 here. Should be 3-0, but we shouldn't be struggling with the likes of UAB. Well, the next week, they travel to Auburn. Pick up a big SEC road win, 24-14. And you start thinking, okay, maybe things are okay. They played in Arlington last year. You know, they've moved that game back to campus this year. But played A&M last year in Jerry World, and they lose 21-17. It was an interesting dynamic. And again, you look at it and say, you know what, probably a game we should have won. And there were some people thinking, you know what, maybe this is not going to work out. The next week, number four, Tennessee, rolls into Fayetteville, basically controlling their own destiny. And they get beat, 19-14. Crazy game. It was a stripeout game, in case you forgot. But you may recall, Arkansas pretty much handled business that day. The next week, they bring in LSU. And again, just when everybody's thinking, okay, we'll red out the stadium for homecoming and we'll pick up top 10 win number two. And they get destroyed by LSU 34-10. And offensively, they just hadn't been good for a few weeks. And we really thought, you know, kind of coming into Starkville, they were a little bit banged up. You know, starting running back is out. Thought we had a chance. Turns out we didn't. We got beat 58-25. It was an embarrassing game. And it was the worst possible matchup for us because of the fact we couldn't stop the run and they could absolutely run the football. They did. They started a freshman running back against us and he killed us. He did. And I think that says more about us than it does him. No disrespect to him. But, you know, we couldn't have stopped a cheerleader last year. You know, I mean, that's just how it was. But they get us 58-25. The next week, they go they host Ole Miss. And you think, okay, maybe they're on a bit of a roll here. But they were not. They did not have nearly enough offense to keep up with Ole Miss. And they get beat 63-31. Craziness. Then they drop to Texas. Competitive game, but they lose to Texas 20-10. They bounce back and beat Louisiana Tech 35-14. And then lose the regular season finale on the road at Missouri to complete the regular season slate at 6-6. And then in the Liberty Bowl, they get Texas Tech 39-26. So 7-6 record last year. But again, you look at it and you could make an argument. Probably should have been a little bit better. I mean, you go back to the Oklahoma State game, probably should have won that one. You could argue there were some plays to be made in the A&M game. There's also some plays that Tennessee could have made in that game, too. That's the nature of football. But it's so interesting you go back and look at these records, and it's like, you know, there were some teams that really got after them. And so going into the season, you know, we wondered last year if 6-6 would be enough for Sam Pittman to keep his job. Well, it was. Bobby Petrino, serving as offensive coordinator, gets the offense off and running. Of course, they didn't play anybody the first couple of weeks. They get Alabama A&M 52-7 and then play Arkansas State in Little Rock for the first time in school history, which is really a shame. But the Razorbacks get them 56-14. And just when you think, okay, things are going to be okay, they go to Oxford and probably should have won the game. But they lose 41-35. Many of you, I know, watched that game. You know, you're like me. You're hoping that Arkansas would find a way. But they were unable to do so. But what I remember about that game, too, is just Arkansas just simply could not get stops. And Ole Miss obviously can run the football. And when you can't stop the run, it's tough to win, as we know from last year. But, man, you look back at the half, it's a three-point game. It's 31-28 at the break. That's a full game of scoring. And then in the second half, the Rebels 10-7 outscore the Razorbacks. But Kewan Lacy with a big game for Ole Miss. And again, and you'd expect that. The next week, they go to Memphis. And Memphis wins that game. And it was a wild game. Like early off, it looked like, you know, Arkansas is just going to run away with this thing. Memphis doesn't have the athletes to compete. It's 28-17 at the break. And then ultimately, Memphis gets it together and outscores them 15-3 in the second half to win the ball game 32-31. You knew that Sam was probably on his last legs, and Notre Dame came in there and absolutely obliterated Arkansas at home. You got all these people there, so excited, the novelty of it all, the gold helmet shining, and the Northwest Arkansas sun, and it is 42-13 at halftime. Craziness, man. 75,000 people at that game watch Notre Dame just absolutely run all over Arkansas. Second half, the Irish shut them out 14-0 and a 56-13 win. They couldn't fire Sam Pittman quick enough. You have the open date, which is always advantageous when you're making a coaching change. If you're trying to salvage anything out of the season, giving the interim staff the opportunity for 2 weeks to prepare is a good thing. So Bobby Petrino and those guys, they did make some changes on defense. It hasn't really amounted to much at this point. But the Arkansas offense goes into Neyland Stadium and nearly pulls this thing off. Tennessee wins it 34-31. I don't know that anybody expected Arkansas to score 31 points in that game. I didn't, but they did. The next week, they host Texas A&M and nearly win that one too. And they lose 45-42. But you just simply can't get stops. Last week against Auburn, they lose 33-24. But again, you look back at the break and you feel like, hey, maybe Arkansas is going to win. I actually picked Arkansas to win that game. I said, you know, the way that Auburn has struggled offensively and the way that Arkansas has been able to score as of late, that seems like a smart pick. It's 21-10 at the break in favor of the Hogs, thanks in large part to a pick six. And then in the second half, it's all Tigers, 23-3, as they walk away 33-24 with an SEC win there. And so now it's Mississippi State. 3 o'clock kick and kind of rounding this thing out. It doesn't get any easier, right? You're going to be at LSU. They'll be fired up to play, and they can run the football. Well, they can't, but that'll be an interesting game. But you know the fans will be out there because Brian Kelly is gone. Then you go to Texas and you host Missouri. That game with Missouri looks a little more intriguing with all the injuries at the quarterback position at Missouri. But, they've got to win out to be bowl eligible, and I just don't think that's going to happen. I think that's one of the reasons you make the change. You know it's going to happen. You don't need to have 25,000 people showing up and only 25,000 people buying a hot dog. You need to give people some hope, give them something to get excited about. And Sam, people love Sam up there. They did. It just didn't work out. You know, it was a weird fit in the first place. I mean, it really was. I mean, like, all he'd ever done as a head coach was coach junior college. First-year head coaches, man, like first-time head coaches at this level, there's a learning curve. Truly.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
All right. As injured last week, that's the smallest home crowd that Arkansas has had this year. Still 69,000. So that's paid attendance. But we'll see. Scoring has not been a real problem for Arkansas. They're scoring almost 36 points a game, but they're allowing 33. And you go back and remember, the numbers in that respect are skewed because of those two non-conference wins early in SEC play. It's been a little different. Even though they scored better as of late, they've earned 193 first downs. They've allowed 191. They've rushed for 1,640 yards. They've given up 1,551. You just don't expect to see those kinds of numbers. It's all very even, up and down. Passing yardage, they've given up 2,287. They've allowed 1,936. Almost 4,000 yards of offense, and they're giving up about 3,500. And I don't know what Alabama A&M did, but I suspect it wasn't much. But about 490 yards a game for and 435 against. Looking through these return numbers, those have not been great either. Matter of fact, of the kick returns, Arkansas has been more susceptible to giving up the bigger return than they generate. 186 yards for, 243 against on 8 kickoffs per. Punt returns, not been great. They're not allowing many punt returns, which is also interesting. You know, that's good coaching more times than not. Kick return average for the Hogs is 23. Against is over 30. Maybe there's some plays that we can make in that respect too. They fumbled the ball 9 times, giving up 7. Their opponents have fumbled at 7, only allowed 2 of those turnovers. Penalties have been a problem for everybody. It has been. Arkansas averaging about 46 yards a game and penalties. Their opponent's right at 50. Not too terrible, but the number has been big. And the timing of them has been big. They're averaging 44.6 yards a punt this year with a net average of 42 and a third. So kind of look at sacks. You know, it always seems that we have some, you know. Some of those are on Blake. Some of those are on the offensive line. But Arkansas, through eight games, only 14 sacks. They've allowed 17. Field goal attempts, they're 8 of 10. Their opponent is 13 of 15. And a lot of that, too, is just, you know, offensive, where they've scored in chunk plays. There hadn't been a lot of methodical drives. They have been very good in the red zone, 30 of 32. 26 of those have been touchdowns. Hadn't missed a PAT this year. Their opponent's 34 of 37 in the red zone, too. But the majority of those have slightly been touchdowns, but 23 of them have been touchdowns. The other 11 have been field goals. Looking at the scoring by period, it's so interesting. You know, we talked a little bit about A&M, about how great they were in the second quarter. You know, Arkansas is as good. You go out there, you probe the first quarter, you see how they're going to defend you, you adjust based on what you see. The best scoring quarter for the Razorbacks has been the second, almost by double. There's 68 in the first quarter, 125 in a second. But what's really bogged them down is halftime adjustments. As teams have the opportunity to adjust, their worst quarter has been the third. Second worst has been the fourth. It's 91 points in the second half combined. The flip side of that is they've been outscored in the third quarter by 15 points. And so you kind of run this thing back a little bit, and you think about, you know, it's important to get off to the good start, but it's important for us to get to the half with the lead. We did that last week and didn't win, though. That's the first thing everybody would say, and that's absolutely correct. Mike Washington has led this team 6.5 yards a carry, 5 touchdowns, averaging 89 yards a game. Taylen Green, who is still kind of working his way back from a knee ailment. I'm told that it's something that will probably stay with him throughout the rest of the regular season. He's had 90 attempts this year. That's second most on a team for 603 yards. So basically, he'll run some, but I don't expect to see a lot of design quarterback runs for him. He did not have a good running game last week. Braylon Russell, the freshman that kind of beat us up last year, he's had 47 carries this year for 255 yards. I suspect we'll see more of him this week. Outside of that, there's not a lot to speak of. Taylen Green is 152 of 243 attempts this year. He has thrown 18 touchdowns against 8 interceptions. Almost 2,200 yards this year. You know, and as of late, he's been really good, and then he gets the knee banged up. And he is a guy, too, you can just tell on film last week, it wasn't just the running game that was affected. It was his ability to kind of push off as a passer. I'm sure they'll do some things this week, you know, to try to simplify it for him. But we talk about this all the time. You never know what shape a team's going to be in by the time you play him. This is one of the reasons why we say that. Taylen Green, not 100%. Omega Blake, leading receiver on this team, 48 catches on the year, averaging 80 per game. Raylan Sharp is the guy that spoke with the media today. He's a transfer that came in. Just a one-year rental-type situation, 25 grabs for 343 yards and 3 touchdowns. It is interesting, though, how they spread the ball around. They've got 19 passing touchdowns, and that's been spread around, I guess, to 9 players. I think that's right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 9 players. So there's a lot of people that have a hand, especially in the red zone. One of the names you got to watch is Rohan Jones, tight end, another guy that transferred in. Just 12 catches, but guys, he's averaging 34 yards a catch. That's not only athletic ability, that's scheme. They want to use a tight end. That's been one of the Bobby Petrino staples over the years. You know, Belima used him a lot too. You know, so that's something you got to consider. We're going to have to do a good job in that respect and not get beat, you know, on these situations where the tight end shows block and then slips out into the pass pattern. All of that is very important for us to overcome. We're going to be disciplined. You know, this is a dangerous team. And what I mean by that is they got nothing to lose. They got to win out to be bowl eligible. They're going to roll out all the stops. All right, defensively, again, they've had a lot of struggles, but there are some guys that have played well. Steven Dix Jr., who also spoke with the media today on Tuesday, tied for the team lead with 59 tackles. Xavier Sory is second. He is not a guy that's going to inspire you very much with his ability as a public speaker, but he is a very, very good player. Don't judge him by that. Judge him by what he does on the field. He's also had sack and a half and a pick that he returned for 25 yards, but he is a guy that kind of fills up the stat sheet. Where's number 10? A guy you always got to pick up in the pre-snap read because you never know. They're bringing him on the blitz, dropping him in coverage. He can do a little bit of everything. He's a senior this year. We'll probably get some pro looks. Larry Worth the third, and Julian Neal just kind of right there with them, maybe in the 40s. But everybody's got to have a leading tackler. But Phillip Lee is one of their best guys that gets in the backfield. You know, 5 TFLs, 2.5 sacks. But the guy leading the team is number 97, Quincy Rhodes. Had a big game last week. He has 9.5 TFLs and 7 sacks this year and also 4 quarterback hurries. If there is a pass rushing specialist, it's him. Now, Connie Walker, where's number 13? Guy gets his hands on a football. 9 pass breakups this year. Doesn't have a pick yet, but he is the guy that gets his hands up there and makes it very difficult, you know, for teams to complete the pass over him. But good coverage guy, will make some plays. But it's interesting, you know, like the Cameron Ball thing. Cam didn't play last week. They expect him to play this week. He's not 100%. Cam's the captain of that defense. Has not been ultra productive this year. And so they had a freak accident last week that caused him to miss the Auburn game. And his status for this week was up in the air. Petrino did say midweek or on Monday that they do expect him to play. How much of a difference does he make? You know, we'll see. David Oakey, I don't know if you guys know much about him. A guy that very popular with the fan base. He has missed some time, and Bobby Petrino shared earlier this week he is out for the season. That's a defensive lineman. They had some guys kind of pop up late last week, you know, just kind of come out of nowhere, and then they're not playing. You know, and I still think there's some people playing games with that availability report. I think there's still some gamesmanship with all that stuff. So, you know, again, this is a team that has not been great defensively, but they have had some real moments offensively. This could shape up to be a shootout. I like what Auburn did against them. If you have watched that game, and if you haven't, I'd encourage you to do so. Auburn basically said, we are going to run the football. If you can stop us, you can stop us. But we're going to run football. Now, of course, you know, Auburn also had a little bit of a change, you know, with the quarterback situation. You know, I don't know if you guys kept up with that at all. They Ashton Daniels is a guy that got some snaps, and they eventually just kind of went to Jackson Arnold because they were having so much success running the football. But, guys, they ran the football 50 times. 50. They threw it just 20. And so I think, you know, again, as explosive as this Arkansas offense can be, even with the Taylen Green maybe not being 100%, you know, the game plan here is to eat up clock. Now, we are obviously a team that likes to go fast, so we're not going to change our identity. But late in this ballgame, provided we have a lead, we're going to have to eat clock. And I like what Kentucky did against Texas, and I like what Auburn's done against Arkansas. And so you got to mimic some of that game planning. And, again, you can't change your identity. You can't go away from everything that you've coached for the last 2 years. But I think there is some things to be learned here about running the football against this Arkansas defense. They ran for 250 yards. I guess the net was 230. But when you're lining up and you're averaging almost 5 yards a carry, why would you ever throw it? Right? I mean, I got three downs, 4 I have to punt, and I'm averaging 4.6 yards a carry. Well, that's going to work out well for me, and it's also going to allow me to dominate time of possession. And when you've got an offense like they have, they want to run the football too. So if you can get some separation in this game, kind of get them out of their scheme a little bit. But it's also interesting to kind of go back and see how teams attack each other within this conference. You know, you think you've got a pretty good idea of how things are going to work, but you never know what coaches are going to see and coaches are going to seek to exploit. I do like Mississippi State's chances in this ballgame. What I worry about in this ballgame is, you know, last year we went into this game with some optimism. And we certainly should have had some. Even though we had struggled at times to stop people, you think, hey, with a freshman running back, we ought to be okay. Their offensive line beat us up. A lot of people did. But you wonder if there's not a hangover from that. You know, it's like, hey, we had a little optimism. We had them at home last year, and it was the most embarrassing game of the year. And so I think the buy-in to the game plan and the belief in each other is very, very important in this ball game. Levy said earlier this week, you know, we just played the best 2-4 team in the country in Florida, and now we played the best 2-6 team in the country. I don't think that's coach speak. I know a lot of people say that. Bobby Petrino has kind of been an offensive mastermind, and maybe he doesn't have the pieces that he needs to really run this offense at its highest level of proficiency, but they will have a game plan capable of beating Mississippi State. And Petrino himself said, it's a different team. It's a different team. You kind of look at some things in your preparation, kind of what they did last year, but personnel-wise, it's a much different team. So I'm not quite ready to give my pick. I do think this is going to be a very entertaining ball game. I think this is one, if State can get up early, I think that that crowd eventually turns on the Razorbacks and potentially just kind of goes and seeks their entertainment elsewhere. When you've lost six games in a row, your fan base is just kind of hanging on by a thread. It's like, you know what, I'm going to check out of here, and I'll just go follow the coaching search online, and then we'll kind of figure it out from there. Let's get ready for basketball and John Calipari and those guys. You know, I think we can see that. We have played in front of some very disenchanted Arkansas crowds over the years. You know, go back to 17, you know, Dan Mullen goes up there and wins. And, of course, in 19, Joe Moorhead absolutely embarrassed Chad Morris. Absolutely ridiculous ball game. And there weren't a lot, you know, wasn't a capacity crowd. But towards the end of those games, there was a lot less people there, especially in 19, because that game was essentially over at the half. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But we'll give you more information kind of on how we see it on Friday after we've had a chance to see the availability report for everybody. All right, time for our close with Blair, player of the day. Blair Chandler, of course, our friend in the mortgage industry, my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. And since you are friends with Blair, you deserve to have his phone number. You do. Phone number 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Just save it in your phone as mortgage guy. You may not remember Blair Chandler, but you will remember that when you need mortgage help, whether you're looking to refinance or buy a home, that's the only name to know. 25 years of experience in this industry. And nobody stays in a meat grinder of a industry like this by accident. Blair gets things done, thus the name Close with Blair. He can be your advocate with underwriting. He knows how to get things done. Get that pre-qualification letter from Blair, and you can see your real estate agent just jump into hyperdrive. You'll be glad you did. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, the only name to know in mortgage loan origination is Blair Chandler. Again, at closewithblair.com. Okay, so our Close with Blair player of the day, I think defensively this is where it's going to have to be. And we're going to go with Zachary Tillman. Zachary didn't play in the first half last week. As soon as he got in the game, made a couple plays. We're going to need a very athletic linebacker to maybe spy Taylen Green. We know that he's not 100%, but even at less than 100%, he is a guy that can hurt you. He killed us last year, absolutely killed us. So I think Zachary's got to be a big part of things, not just in run support, but in pass rush. And I think that he is the guy that will come through. I look for Zachary to have a big game. He's been a very, very important player for State this year, kind of rising into his own. A guy that I think will be really good for us down the stretch. Mississippi born and raised. You know, his mom was honored at the Salute to Service, which is one of the best things we do on game day. And it's cool, too, to see even the opposing fans stand up and applaud, as they should. But Zachary Tillman, today's Close with Blair, Player of the Day. All right, time for today's Top 10 list is always brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com. Guys, that's your stringed instrument shop. Okay, it's got a showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas. And maybe you can't make it down there to kind of look around. You owe it to yourself to get down there when you can. But if you can't, they can give you the same level of service that exceeds everybody else's. They can give you a level of expertise that is unsurpassed. These are not just guitar sellers. These are guitar players. It's true. They love it, man. They love buying, selling, repairing, and preparing guitars. These are guitar people. You're guitar people, and if you're not, maybe you want to be or you should be. So if you've got a beginner player in your family and you're thinking about buying them a guitar for Christmas, look no further than Kalido Guitars. Get them a quality instrument, okay? Don't just go buy them just something to pluck around with. Get them a quality instrument, something they can be proud of. I'm very proud of my Steve Vai signature guitar that I have from Kalido Guitars. It's outstanding. I also got an incredible gig bag from them. So whether you're looking for instruments or you're looking for accessories, cases, gig bags, everything guitar or string instrument related, you can find at Kalido Guitars. They're going to give you a great promo code too. You can use it in person. You can use it over the phone. You can use it online. It's BSR. That gets you a 10% discount. That gets you no shipping. That gets you no sales tax unless you live in a state of Texas, and they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. What a great incentive. I love my Kalido guitar and my Kalido guitar experience. Everything that I have, every interaction I've had with them has been excellent. And I'm not just saying that because they advertise. I wouldn't continue to accept them as an advertiser if I didn't believe in them. And I absolutely believe in them, and you can believe in them too. If you believe in me, believe in KalidoGuitars.com. They have my business from now on. Again, that's KalidoGuitars.com, based out of Lake Jackson, Texas. All right, so if you saw today on Twitter, I was a little exuberant this morning. Roy and I have been discussing this for a few days. We're taking a guy's trip, just me and him. Taking a guy's trip, and you know I'm not a big fan of flying. I'm going to fly. That's right, and it's got to take something big to get me on an airplane. I do okay these days. You know, my kids are older. I don't worry as much about that stuff. But Roy and I are going to be flying to San Antonio in September of next year. We picked that day specifically. I said to Roy, I want to go to these shows, but it's got to be a midweek date. I can't miss a football game for this. Just so happens, there is a Tuesday night concert. The headliner, Iron Maiden. That's right. That even if it was just an evening with Iron Maiden, that would be enough. But no. No. Megadeth, also on the bill. And they're only playing some select dates, but they're playing the date that Roy and I are going. It's Anthrax. So Anthrax, Megadeth, and Iron Maiden on one bill in the Alamo Dome. Roy and I are not on the floor. We're old nowadays. We could probably get down there and compete, but the reality of it is we got to get up and go to work a couple days later. So we're not going to be on the floor. We're going to be up in the stands, and we're going to have a great time. So we're going to fly out to San Antonio. We're going to enjoy a killer rock show. We'll fly back. I am sure that we'll both be suffering with ringing ears the next day. But I'm jacked to go. And it's like, yeah, I'm the kind of guy, I always need something to look forward to. Right? I do. I'm the kind of person. I can live life kind of work a day, but it's nice to know that you got some things to look forward to. So 11 months from now, we're going to be in the same building as Iron Maiden. And so you begin to think, okay, because I'm a band nerd, and I begin to think, what's potentially going to be on the Seth list. So we looked it up, and I got the top 10 most played songs live by Iron Maiden. Now, these are not going to be ranked in my order of favorites. It's going to be ranked in the number of times these songs have been played live. Okay? We may have stumbled upon something here, too, that we can use in some other top 10 list down the road. But in honor of Roy Samanti and I's upcoming trip to San Antonio to rock out with Iron Maiden, here's your top 10 most played Iron Maiden songs at Iron Maiden concerts. All right, number 10, and you may be surprised at some songs that are missing. Wasted Years, not on the list. Yeah, number 10 is Running Free. They have played that song 1,040 times. You got a lot of bands out there that hadn't even played 1,000 times. They played this one song 1,040 times, and it only gets bigger from here. Number 9, Wrathchild. 1,257 times. Number 8, Fear of the Dark. 1,261 times. Number 7, Sanctuary. 1,273 times. So you're kind of right in there together. We take a bit of a leap here at number 6. A song that a lot of Iron Maiden fans know well. It's 2 Minutes to Midnight, 1,420 times. You talk about legendary acts. There are few as legendary as Iron Maiden. Number 5, a song that everybody knows, and it's the title of the tour, Run to the Hills, 1,522 times. You know we're going to hear that. You know it. Number 4, I have this shirt. I wear it regularly. Probably pick up some more Iron Maiden gear before we go, because now I'm a member of the fan club, because we had to get that pre-sale code, right? It's the Trooper, 1,735 times. Number 3, Hallowed Be Thy Name, 1,931 times. And our top 2 are going to be over 2,000. You could probably already guess this next song. You may not know it ranks, but you know it. And this is going to upset some people. You know, this goes back to the years of the PMRC and all that crazy stuff too. It's the Number of the Beast, 2,030 times. It is not advocating, just so you guys know, for the Antichrist. But number 1, and this is a surprise to me. It truly is. I have not seen Iron Maiden live many times. What's interesting is this song was on the very first album when Bruce Dickinson, that's right, the legendary Bruce Dickinson, wasn't even with the band yet. But they have played their title track from their debut album, Iron Maiden, the track Iron Maiden, a whopping 2,434 times. Absolutely incredible, man. So while we don't know the full set list, we've got a pretty good working idea of many of the songs that will probably comprise our evening. And Iron Maiden typically plays about 2 hours. I think the start time for the show is like 6:15, which means Anthrax will probably play for 45 minutes, Megadeth an hour, and then we'll get 2 hours of Iron Maiden. That's how I suspect it'll break down, because you wouldn't start at 6:15, because curfew is 10. So 6:15 for Anthrax, you know, so maybe 11, I guess. I don't know how they do it out in Texas. But I'm jacked to go, I can tell you that. Excited to go. 3 legendary bands on one bill, 1 amazing night. I wouldn't get on a plane for just anything. And you guys know this about me. You do. And I'm just going to pull this up too, because I put it out on Twitter and had a few people hit me up like looking for dates. And, you know, Google's your friend. But I'm your friend too. So, you know, there's a bunch of European dates, as you guys are probably well aware. But they will make their U.S. debut in 26. If I can get over here. The tour kicks off It started earlier this year in Budapest, Hungary, but I'm looking to see if they've got everything kind of updated. Yeah, so they'll be back. Let's see. We're getting over here into 26. They're going to, yeah, they'll pick it up in Athens, Greece, May 23rd, if you're so inclined. And then a lot of dates. And then they cross over in the United States on September the 5th. September the 5th. They'll be in Harrison, not Arkansas, but in New Jersey, in Sports Illustrated Stadium. And Anthrax will be with them. That makes perfect sense, you know, Anthrax being from that area. So you got Boston on the 9th, Bristow on September 11th. Megadeth, it's just Megadeth. Again, Anthrax, I'm playing a couple dates. Bristow, Charlotte. That would be pretty cool, too. That's in the PNC Pavilion. I mean they're playing stadiums, man. Hershey, they'll be in Louisville, Kentucky, which is probably the closest thing to us. And that's September the 17th. We can't do it, you know. We thought about going to Chicago. We did. It's an amphitheater. We thought, what if it rains? We spend all this money and we can't go. And then the last date before they dip out of the United States is us. They're going to go to L.A. and then on the 25th and then the 29th. It's the Alamo Dome game, tournament, concert, festival, extravaganza. And Roy and I'll be there. And it looks like Anthrax is only doing like four dates with them, and we're going to see them. Yeah, so yeah, great time to be Steve and Roy. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up the Iron Maiden bound Roy Samanti at Dogmatic67 on X. That's DawgMatic67. Just give him a follow. He doesn't post pictures of his food and like his shoes or anything like that. It's not that kind of party. And you can find me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. And I can tell you, so we're on the phone, like figuring this stuff out. And like right when we got ready to get in the queue, it's like, so Roy calls me and we're already in the queue. And these things move pretty quickly. But like there's already like 846 people ahead of us. And you could buy up to 8 tickets. So they're not going to sell out. We know we're going to get in. And we're buying our tickets before the general public. But man, we went from like 846 to like 400 in like a minute. And the next thing you know, it's time for us to get in the queue, and something happened. And we thought maybe we'd lost our spot in the queue, but no. The gods of rock smiled on me, Roy and Samanti, and we were in. And we had already kind of figured out what sections we were kind of considering, and lo and behold, we didn't get front row tickets in our section, but we're in the earlier rows. And at the end of the day, you're going to stand up a lot anyway, but yeah, we're jacked, man. We're absolutely jacked. And not only that, too. I mean, it's not just, you know, going to a great show. I mean, I'm going and doing something with my buddy, you know. And you know, the last couple of years running two businesses, it's been difficult to do that. And honestly, I really don't like going out without Dana. And part of that is just respect, right? Like I would not want her going out without me. And that's not me being insecure. That's just kind of the reality of life. It's a respect thing. And like when she was travel nursing, man, I was at a rock show almost every weekend. And one day I just kind of got convicted of it. I was like, you know, I wouldn't want her hanging out in bars around a lot of, you know, people that are intoxicated, especially when you look like me and people are going to shows and they want to meet the band and I'm hanging out with the band and they think that I can help them out. And so you can kind of you can kind of figure out it may not be the best of situations for a married guy. So I share that with you just because I haven't been to a show in a while, not a major show. I did go see our buddy Storage 24 down at Howlin' Mouse here a couple months ago. Had a great time with those guys. Loved those guys to death, man. You know, Matt, Fred, the whole crew, loved those guys. And they've been playing some pretty cool dates here as of late, doing some travel. And excited for them. But yeah, this is the first like huge concert. And I'm thinking about some dates. I got to figure this thing out. They're probably going to go pretty quickly. Like Bad Omens is going out with Beartooth and this new president. I'm not a huge fan of that. But Bad Omens, I love them. I've seen Beartooth. I've seen Bad Omens. So I don't know if we're going to make them this time. But Bring Me the Horizon's coming to the U.S. in 2026 too. So we might be able to make that happen too. So all those things are important. And I think whether you like rock music or not, or you like rap music or R&B or country, Whatever your bag is, you need to get out and go see your favorite bands before they stop touring. That was one of the things I told Dana. I said, listen, I know you have absolutely no desire to go see Anthrax, Megadeth, and Iron Maiden. I know this. But I don't know how long these guys are going to tour. And I feel like I owe it to myself to get out and go see this before it's all over with. I mean, just look what we just experienced with Ozzy. I mean, you think these guys are going to live forever and they're going to tour forever, and they're not. They're not. And so I share that. You know, we've lost Ace recently. You know, we lost Jack Russell last year. And I just feel like, you know what? I got to go. You know, I have to go. I owe it to myself. I work exceptionally hard, as many of you do as well. And you have to reward yourself with something fun every now and again. So I'm jacked. And you should be too. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. And why? Because there's so much in there we want to possess. Yeah. We can't get enough Mississippi State merch. Mom, don't overcomplicate it. Don't overthink it. Buy all the Bulldogs in your family new Mississippi State merchandise. That's how you ensure that you're going to have some smiling faces on Christmas morning. Everybody wants new Christmas stuff. Everybody wants new Mississippi State merch. Whether it's apparel, gift ideas, everything you need to detail out your fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. Stop by and see their smiling faces next time you're in town. If you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. And that is BSR. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, we discussed this on the Sunday night / Monday morning show. We expected a big week in Mississippi State recruiting. It's not done yet. But it's been an eventful week already, as Mississippi State has added 4 new commitments, and all of these guys are outstanding players. Rocco Maniscalco, you guys know that name well. Yes, that's the son of former Mississippi State shortstop Matthew Manny Maniscalco. And as I text Manny early this week, I was like, you know, dude, you are a Friday night ace for naming this kid Rocco. He is reclassed from the 2027 class for the 2026. Now, for 2027, he was projected by many to be the top shortstop in the 27 class. He is reclassed. He is 16 years and 5 months old. A lot of people wonder if he's going to come to school. He'll see how the draft goes, but at that young age, there are varying opinions on, you know, is he ready for the minor leagues? Well, I guess we'll find out. This time next year, he'll only be 17 and a half. But the mocks right now are not maybe very kind to him, and I think maybe they haven't caught up just yet. But should be a highly rated player, and of course, Mississippi State's ranking will certainly improve. It already has some. Also, you pick up another guy that's reclassed, Will Brick, who was rated as the top catcher in the country for the 2027 class. Well, now he's a 2026 guy. If you read his interview with me, he basically talks a lot about going to school. You know, and a lot of these guys are kind of coached to say the right things in the media. You know, you want to make it like Billy Hamilton's advisor said, hey, we want him to go to college. There was no chance of him coming to college. But we'll see how things go with Will. He's 17 years and 4 months of age. So he'll be, you know, close to 18 when the draft takes place, obviously. So that's something to kind of consider, too. But we're going to go over some more of this stuff because the first thing everybody talks about is, well, Steve, what does that mean? Jake Carbaugh flips from Wake Forest. He is a right-handed pitcher, a bit of a two-way guy out of Plant City, Florida. Another guy that's very excited and rated a perfect 10. All these guys are 10s. You know, this is the neighborhood in which we live. 6'5", 220-pound guy will really get after you. And this 2025 class coming together, we do think there is an opportunity to add one more player. You know, signing day is, I think, next week for these guys. So it's looking pretty good. And give Brian O'Connor and his staff – you know, a lot of credit for coming in and kind of getting to work. Of course, some of these guys had relationships with Justin Parker. And that's one thing that Jake told me, is that Jake Carbaugh we're talking about, is that he was pretty excited about Mississippi State the first time. And he went to Wake Forest because of Corey Mascara. And then Mascara, of course, gets the Duke job, and he reopens things. So, you know, that's important too, you know, that aspect of it. And so this class still somewhat under construction, you know, when it's all said and done. But we've come a long way in a short time. We talked about this, you know, recently as Mississippi State was sitting there 19th in the country, which is really not what we have been historically, even under Lamontas. He did a really good job kind of chasing those. Bulldogs now up to 14 in the country. And you got three top 100 players in the eyes of a perfect game. And again, Rocco Maniscalco still has not received his 2027 rating. So Bulldogs could pull there into the top 10. You know, still some work to do. What's interesting, you know, Virginia, the school that Brian O'Connor came from, is ranked ahead of state at 9 with 17 commitments, but none of those in the top 100. You know, so you look at quality points there, that's a feather in the cap for the Bulldogs. And go Tuesday evening, 2027, commitment R.J. Shields jumps aboard the Bulldog Express. He's rated a 9.5. That class is a top 10 class at this point, even with just 7 members listed. And, man, we wouldn't throw any of them back. You know, still plenty of time to kind of put this thing together. And, you know, Shields just recently added to the 2027 class. But, you know, just kind of working through this, you know, Kyle Mackage is a guy that people, you know, maybe don't know as much about, but another guy with a perfect 10 rating. And you kind of, you know, kind of work your way through this. That's where we are right now, you know, with these players. A lot of the, you know, Connor Salerno, the top left-handed pitcher in the country. You know about Sullivan Reed and Deuce Jenkins. Carson Kinnick, the top catcher in the eyes of many now for 2027. And certainly the best west of the Mississippi. So you just kind of work through this and begin to realize we're hitting a different level of recruiting at Mississippi State. And I think a lot of that, we've talked about it on the show, is we have a coaching staff that I think is commiserate with our financial investment into college baseball. 7 commitments, 5 of them in the top 100 in the country, and still room to grow. You know, we've got some other schools ahead of us with double-digit commitments, but when you begin to kind of break down the quality numbers, and it's been this way throughout the process, you know, State right there with Tennessee. Tennessee, of course, just recently promoted Josh Ellender. They talked about, you know, Frank being the interim coach. That lasted about a week. And then Josh Ellender gets the job. Josh, of course, was a fringe candidate for Mississippi State. A lot of our fans wanted him. But you wonder how much of that was Tony Vitello and how much of it was Josh Ellender. Well, we'll find out here in the next couple of years. Yeah, I said on the show, it made sense to me, give Ellender a year kind of on the job, kind of proving his worth, and he'll probably get more than that now. But the team's just ahead of State in the rankings, again, as this class is still under construction. Florida State at 9, Arkansas at 8, Auburn at 7, A&M at 6, Alabama 5, TCU 4, Texas 3, Tennessee and LSU 2-1. But when you begin to break down, you know, just kind of top 100 players, you know, who has that? The higher percentage favors Mississippi State. State now currently 4th in the country with the number of top 100 players. And what's interesting to me about that is the first thing, again, we have a very self-loathing and self-deprecating portion of our fan base that finds fault in every little bit of good news. And I wish we could outgrow that. I really do. That's one of those things. I joke about this, but it's not really a joke when I go speak. And I tell people, if you have daughters, please ensure that they marry a very positive Mississippi State fan that doesn't just, you know, pick holes in everything that we do. you know, anybody we get, we got lucky. Any game we won, we get lucky. You know, we don't need that negativity in your life. You don't. And so the first thing that, you know, we start celebrating these commitments, you know, and people are like, well, hey, you know, how many of these guys are actually going to make it to school, Steve? Well, you know, based on what we have done historically and what Brian O'Connor has done historically, well, I would say a lot of them. You know, a lot of them are going to come to school. And I think that's an important aspect to kind of consider. When you go back and look at Mississippi State's class from 2025, and you got to swing for the fences. I mean, that's the neighborhood we live in. You're going to have players that are committed, even with the new recruiting rules, that are going to have interest from professional baseball. You sign as many of those guys as you can get, and then maybe half of them come to school. But like you look at last year, guys, we lost two. We lost JoJo Parker and Landon Harmon. That's it. Everybody else makes it to school, including Jack Bauer and including Jacob Parker, who was drafted and bypassed on signing to come to school. You look the year before, right? I mean, the signing class of 2024, you lost two. You lost Dante Norrie and Conrad Kaysen. And, of course, Conrad goes late in the eighth round. I mean, late for a high school guy. Anybody in the top 10. Everybody else came to school. Everybody else came to school. Right? So, again, a big class, and you lose two. You go back to 2023. You lost three. You lost two. You lost Colin Hoke in the first round to the Mets, and you lost Aiden Smith in the fourth round to Seattle. So you lost two. And Dane Burns drafted, elects to turn down money to come to school. And so this is not just a Brian O'Connor phenomenon. You know, we are in Mississippi State baseball. You go back and look at the class of 2022, you lost one player. That's it. You lose one guy, Jet Williams, who finally made it to AAA. Finally. He was kind of like bouncing around AA for the longest time. Let's go back to 2021. You lose three players in that class. That's it. That's it. Three players. And so, you know, four, because Tyler Montiel went. Yeah, so four guys. And so that was kind of a banner year. But again, that's back under the old rules, when you're committing guys in like the 9th and 10th grade. I mean, the rules have changed now. You can't offer those guys until August 1st of their junior year. Let's go back to 2020. You lose Blaze Jordan and you lose Austin Hendrick. But everybody else comes to school. And so I share that with you just because of the fact that I want to provide some facts rather than just people's opinions. Because, again, you know, there is no end to the constant criticism from the self-loathing side of our fan base. Well, there's no point getting excited. You know, you tell yourself whatever you need to feel happy or to feel miserable. It makes no difference to me. But by and large, we average losing two high school signees a year. That's what we've done for the better part of a decade. And so, yes, the majority of these guys will come to school. And many of you have asked me on Facebook and Twitter, and I thought, you know what, rather than me go and answer everybody's individual question, let's just do it on a Boneyard. And so you begin to ask yourself, and again, granted, I don't know these guys as well as I do the Mississippi State guys. But let's look back at the Virginia, because I tell you, I've had so many people in Major League Baseball, when we hired Brian O'Connor, they said, man, that is the toughest sign in the country. I said, what do you mean? They said O'Connor's kids typically come to school. That's the thing that's very frustrating for them. It's like, you know, you love a guy, but he's committed to Virginia, and he goes to school. All right, so let's go back and look at you know, the 25 class. You know, we'll just kind of jump at that. Guys, Brian O'Connor's group lost one guy. One guy. Little Becker, right? That's it. That's it. And you got to wonder if O'Connor was still there. Does that happen? All right. Again, you look at the 2024 class, and again, I don't know these guys as well, But, you know, James not only got drafted in the 14th round, you know what? He's probably going to be your starting center fielder. It's true. And then you got, you know, four other guys that signed. Trey Gregory offered was a bit of a surprise, drafted in the 11th round. But, you know, Luke Dickerson was a second rounder. Bryce Mackich, a second rounder. And you know what? His brother Kyle committed to Mississippi State right now. You know, and so, you know, we can detail this out as much as you guys want to. You know, look at 2023 class. One guy. You lose one guy if you're Brian O'Connor in 2023. It just doesn't work out the way that a lot of people think. Go back to 2022, the Virginia class. You had several guys that were drafted in this class. You know, Henry Godbout was one of them. But that's in a 2025 draft, right? And so you look at this group, the 2022 class, and all these guys went to camp. All these guys went to school, and then four of them signed in the 2025 draft. I mean, it's kind of crazy when you look at that aspect of it, right? It's true. Let's go back a couple more classes just because I want to drill this home. The 2021 class at Virginia, Brian O'Connor's class there, you lost two. Yeah, you lost two. And then you had three more that came to school that went in the top 12 rounds in their respective drafts, including Jay Wolfolk, who pitched against us. You know, had some other guys go a little bit later. But, you know, Griff O'Farrell, remember him? Ended up being a first rounder. And so I just kind of point this out to show that Mississippi State historically has gotten high school guys to school, as has Brian O'Connor at Virginia. And so I wanted to kind of take some time because I don't want to have to answer these questions every single time that we get a high-profile high school recruit. What's chances he come to school? Well, pretty good. Yeah. Matter of fact, really good when you begin to consider the Brian O'Connor-Mississippi State combo. Mississippi State, a team that has historically had guys come to school. Brian O'Connor, a coach and a coaching staff that has historically seen their high school guys come to school. You know, and I think Brian O'Connor demonstrated that this year by getting Jack Bauer. And if he'd had more time with maybe Landon Harmon, you might have been able to get him too. You know, JoJo, we kind of had an idea even 2 years ago that guy was probably going to get drafted, certainly last year. But the reality of it is the overwhelming majority of the high school signees at Mississippi State Baseball end up reporting to school. And I think that percentage is even going to be higher with Brian O'Connor's plan of development. Because if you look at what those guys have done at Virginia, they get to AA a lot quicker. It's because they're more professional baseball ready, having played for Brian O'Connor, and Matt Kirby, and Kevin McMullen, and now Justin Parker. You know, and you look at what Justin Parker has done. You know, just 2 years ago, set a school record for the number of pitchers drafted, and some of those guys the year before were on the trash heap of college baseball. So kind of understand where we are, who we are, and what we're about. And yes, we do expect, and then things could change, but we do expect one more 2026, and there's a couple more 2027s that we think will make a decision sooner rather than later that could be joining the Bulldog class for next year. And so that's one of those things to consider too. Those guys are always working, and it's been a lot of fun. It really has. It's been a lot of fun you know, for us. Having a chance to talk to these very, very talented young baseball players that have chosen your university to cast their lot with. It's been a lot of fun for our fans. They're like, man, I just can't wait for baseball season to get here. And it's like, hey, just when, you know, you start talking about football, all of a sudden the Brian O'Connor's getting another top 100 player to come play baseball at Mississippi State. We'll have to navigate the draft, but I've just given you the numbers, right? So you don't need to go into the draft, you know, with a sense of fear, you know, and just, you know, impending doom. We did really well this past year. I mean, it could have been an absolute unmitigated disaster, right? If we had lost Jack Bauer and Jacob Parker, you look at it and say, you know what? Hey, you lost your top four players in this class. It was kind of top heavy. What does that mean? You know, there's some truth in that, but that's not what happened. You only lose two. And it's two guys that were committed to Chris Amonis that Brian O'Connor and his staff did not have the opportunity to build much of a relationship with. It's not like they had been committed to Brian O'Connor for a year or more. Brian O'Connor was working from behind. And JoJo Parker, first-round draft pick, he's going to school, guys. He's going to sign a pro contract. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it didn't matter who the coach is at Mississippi State. It doesn't matter what kind of NIL money you offer him. You know, the kind of the millions he'd have had to turn down just doesn't make a lot of sense. So I think that's an important aspect of all this to consider as well, is that in the short time Brian O'Connor had to work, he gave you some really good results. And now here we are at the end, seeing this 2026 class begin to climb. And some of it's the benefit of some reclassification, but it's also some great recruiting. And we've basically had guys on every weekend we've been allowed to, since the visits opened up, in September. We had a bunch of guys there right out of the gate. And you begin to think about, our friends over at Prep Baseball. You know, those guys do a great job too, and I'm looking this up right now too, just because I think it's important, for you guys to know as we kind of work through this. It's Prep Baseball Report. That's where we are. But you look at this, if we can get over there and get toggled over there, you go back and you think about the 2025 class. All right, so according to, these guys, some of the top players in the state were headed to Mississippi State. Jacob Parker, Joseph Parker, Landon Harmon, Maddox Miller, obviously. Probably a sleeper for you guys. Tanner Bellevue, got it. We expect it to be very involved this year. We had a great year in Mississippi last year. But, we signed some of the best players in the state of Mississippi despite the fact that we made a coaching change. All of that I think is important to kind of understand too. You forget that aspect of it. This time last year, Chris Amonis was our coach. And listen, Chris did a good job, recruiting at Mississippi State. But you flip over here to the 2026 group, it's just not a great year. 2025 wasn't great. 2026 was really not great. We don't even have a single commitment from the state of Mississippi for the 2026 class. We don't need to take a guy just to take a guy. A lot of people believe, that Eric Booth Jr. Out of Oak Grove and Kevin Roberts and Jackson Prep are the top two players in the state, and both of them are headed out of state. And you know what? That's okay. I think there's a good chance that at least one of those guys signs a pro deal. And, again, that kind of plays into your point about, guys not coming to school. But when you look at what's happened here in 2027 – already, right? And you look at Deuce Jenkins, and you look at Sully Reed, you look at Fisher Howell, and all of a sudden you start getting excited about what you've already done in-state. It's a pretty impressive thing, and I think that's one of the things that you have to kind of consider too, is Brian O'Connor didn't have a ton of time to put this thing together. He hadn't had the benefit of having these guys in camp and then building a relationship. And then when you're legally allowed to offer them, then you begin to kind of push and say, okay, this is what matters, So I think we're in a great position. I truly do. And I think it's something worthy of your excitement. But at the end of the day, it's not, signing day is important, but it's a means to a bigger end. And that's to putting a quality program on the field. And I spoke to a former Mississippi State coach that has his name on a stadium here in Starkville. And he's not one to really just kind of talk about these kinds of things. And we were kind of lamenting a little bit about the loss in football. And he believes we've got more pitching depth now than we had in 2021. Now he says, we got to stay healthy, Steve. We got a great team, though. And I believe that's the case. I've been to a handful of scrimmage. Mike Nemeth's been to all of them. And, of course, if you're coming this weekend, the scrimmage with Louisiana Tech right now is planned to first pitch for noon. So if you got that game day condo, maybe use it again this weekend. Drive up Friday night. Go enjoy a great hamburger at Bulldog Burger Company. Have a couple of adult beverages and go check out the Diamond Dogs. For many of you, it'll be your first look at the Mississippi State baseball team Several of you made that trip down to Pensacola when we split with Florida State, and I still firmly believe if we had played our starters in both games, we win those games, but those games are about experience and development. It's not just about winning. But I think, again, we are entering, I think, a historic era at Mississippi State because I think we have a coach that kind of knows how to throw our weight around, not just his pedigree, but the facilities and everything that we have here in the history of Mississippi State baseball. I think every bit of that is going to really reap some benefits here in the years ahead at Dirty Noble Field. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town. And you should. You've thought about it. You said, you know, we should do that. Yes, you should. We've done it. I can tell you it's worth the time and effort, and there's really not a lot of effort involved in it. You just Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and you can check out their Facebook page. You can send the pictures to your friends and say, hey, let's go stay here. It's just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus in the greatest city in the universe, Starkville, Mississippi. That's true. You know it. And you've always thought about it. Wouldn't it be great to have everybody under one roof? You know, that's the thing that I think about. The older my kids get, the older my grandkids get, the more that matters. I don't know how many opportunities we're going to have to get everybody together. You know, we're pretty scattered. It's true. You know, maybe you guys all live all under each other. We don't. I got kids in four states. And so maybe your life is a little bit like mine, but even if it's not, the chance to get everybody under one roof, like you did when you were kids, you know, maybe the family has grown, outgrown mom's house, and it's a little more comfortable to go stay at a place like this. You can make her dream come true, too. She's already thinking about making those cinnamon rolls for Saturday morning breakfast. She'd love to do that for you. She would. She'd love it. You know, Dad would love to go up there and grab the pizza for you. You know, those are the things you got to think about, right? Guys, we're not getting any younger. We got to make as many memories as we can to sustain us later in life. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. You'll check out their Facebook page. Some booking options pop up. It's Airbnb, VRBO. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10 and get 10% off your stay just by listening to the show. And you get all these great amenities, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, six bedrooms, two, soon to be three baths, plenty of parking. I can't oversell that. That's such an important part of this because when you're getting a bunch of people together, that's one of the biggest concerns. Where is everybody going to park? No worries at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Again, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. It's the old renovated country club clubhouse out past the Highlands on 182. You owe it to yourself and to your family to book a trip sooner rather than later. Okay. Mississippi State picked up a football recruiting commitment. And it happened fast, right? So Dre Riley of Northwest Mississippi Community College, and I'm going to defend him a little bit here too. I've had a chance to watch some film. We're going to go watch him in person Thursday night. We're traveling Friday, and I'm going to go spend some time with my family Friday. So I was already thinking I wanted to go to a JUCO game because I don't like missing. You know, you only get so many opportunities to go cover games and evaluate players and get pictures and that kind of stuff. And I said, we want to go to a JUCO game. Well, lo and behold, we get a JUCO commitment. And that's Dre Riley, originally from Charleston, Mississippi. And he is a guy that had some buzz coming out as a high school player and has kind of reinvented himself a little bit at safety, really throws himself around a little bit, got the offer on today's the 29th. Well, I guess we've already flipped the calendar here. So today is Wednesday. Got the offer on Sunday or Monday. And then commits on Tuesday. Or got the offer Sunday, committed on Monday. Either way, the bottom line is this. In about 24 hours' time, when Mississippi State said, Dre, we'd love for you to be a Bulldog, he goes, okay. Now, you look at his offer list, it doesn't really just jump out at you. He's got 19 offers. And you say, well, Steve, that's a lot. Well, it's mainly G5, right? He had already taken official visits to Charlotte and to East Carolina. He had Arizona and Utah dates in the works, but offers also from Arkansas State, Florida Atlantic, Grambling, Hampton, Kennesaw State, Louisiana Monroe, Marshall, Mercer, North Carolina Central, North Texas, Old Dominion, Prairie View, Southern Miss, Texas State, Troy, UTSA. So some really solid G5 programs in there, but State is the only Power 4 offer. And so, yeah, there's a lot of people that say, you know what, hey, Steve, we're not that smart. You know what, and maybe we're not, but here's the thing, and I don't know if you've looked at this, and I think this is an important thing to consider. You got to think about what are our emerging needs for the 2026 roster. And this is what you listen to the show for, right? Guys, we're going to have to go out and probably get 3 to 4 older safeties because of what we're losing this year. You know, I don't know what Tony Mitchell's going to do. I don't. But, you know, Jerron Manning, not going to be here next year. Brian Lanier, unless something crazy happens, not going to be here next year. Not to mention, he's put some really good things on tape. And so even if he's granted an additional year, he may elect to go ahead and make a move. That's an important thing to consider, too. Hunter Washington, not going to be here next year. And so I don't know. And like, that's what we have to do. We have to kind of forecast that. But most importantly, your staff has to think in those terms. So the question that I ask you is, if we got to go out and get 3 or 4 safeties, like what if Isaac Smith goes pro? Now, granted, he plays star, which is basically the rover listed as a safety, attend some linebacker meetings. But that's something to consider. You know, and Stonka Burnside's redshirting this year. Does Stonka decide to go back on offense? Does he decide to get in the portal? You don't know. You just don't know. You got some younger guys you feel good about, you know, the guys that you're going to be bringing along, you know. But the guys that are getting most of the reps at safety, not going to be here next year. And so, number one, how expensive would it be for Mississippi State to have to go get, let's say, 3 to 4 safeties out of the portal? And what are the chances you can get 4 quality safeties out of the portal? I'd say slim and none, because you traditionally only play 2 to 3, depending on the alignment. And so there's guys who can be like, no, I'm not going to go sign with you guys. You guys are, you're signing 4 safeties, you're going to play 3. Somebody's going to be a backup. I can guarantee to go start here. And so I think by taking Dre, number one, it's not as expensive. This is a guy that wants to be at Mississippi State. But also, too, I think it eases the pressure a little bit on the portal recruiting aspect of trying to go out and fulfill these safety spots that are going to be vacated by some very talented players. And so now you can kind of roll some of that money over and maybe be a little more competitive and say, yeah, hey, we signed a JUCO guy. We expect him to be a depth guy this year and potentially be a starter in 2027. As a guy that could be a rotation guy for us, and he is a good player, and I'll go see him play in person. Now that we've had a chance to watch him a little bit, I feel a little bit better about the take. But I think when you look at the totality of roster construction for Mississippi State for next year, this makes a lot of sense. This is not, you know, we took some JUCO guys last year for depth because we didn't have any. And some of those guys got in here and they weren't good, and, you know, we processed them on out. Not going to have the ability to do that this year without a spring portal, right? So you've got to be smart in what you do. I think this is a smart move. Do I expect him to come in and start next year? No, I don't. And if he does, hey, great for him. But I do think he is a guy that is a very good cover safety. And he is a guy that flies around, comes up and runs support. You know, he's not Ronnie Lott, okay? He's not. But if this is a guy that can work in the rotation, and you think about last year, like, when we took Javen Williams, people were like, oh, you know, big deal guy from Kennesaw State. Guy's played well for us. He has. So if we get that out of him, I think you feel really good about that. And so we'll have a full report on him on Friday after watching him Thursday night against Itawamba. And I'm eager to get there, you know. And, I don't like to waste a football week. You know, we went to 3 football games last week, counting Mississippi State's game. Went to, let's see, who did we see? It was Ridgeland, and memory's fading because I'm getting old. Ridgeland and Canton on Thursday, and then we saw Tupelo and Horn Lake on Friday, and, of course, Mississippi State and Texas on Saturday. There's nothing that ever replaces the in-person eval. I don't care what anybody says. Unless you can watch full game tape, you got to go see them play in person. In addition to that, too, The game tape and the highlight video are going to miss what he's doing on the sidelines in between possessions. You know, what is he doing when his team is getting their butt whipped? Is he just sitting over there pouting to himself, thinking about, you know, what's happening after the ball game? What fast food place is going to be open? You're not going to see that on a highlight video. Is he a leader? Is he running up and down the field, getting everybody lined up, ready to go? Is he demonstrative, trying to spark the comeback? You're not going to see that on game film. It just doesn't happen. You got to go, and you kind of get a sense of what a teammate a guy is. So, yeah, we're eager to go see him play. And, of course, you know, we got some football to play this weekend. You know, we'll head to Arkansas. Friday's a travel day for us, so we will we'll record the Friday show before we leave for Arkansas, and which means we'll probably do it Thursday and have it ready to go Friday morning. And we'll have the opportunity, of course, to work through our picks for the weekend, kind of give you our last thoughts about our Arkansas, another cool top 10 list. But, yeah. I'm excited to do what we do, and I read some things out there at times from some of our fans that is a little disconcerting. I mean, it is, and but the thing, and I had some of these conversations with a couple of guys that floated today. They're Boneyard listeners, and I said, you know, that guy that doesn't know how to articulate his disappointment doesn't love Mississippi State any less than you do. That's important to understand. I've said that many times on the show. I see all this and people say, well, you know, that they're not true fans. They are. They're just hurting. We're tired of losing. Collectively, we're tired of losing. And none of us are really handling that well. And if you need evidence of that, just go look at what we all had to say Saturday night. And some of the biggest Bulldog fans that I know kind of said some regrettable things out of frustration. They're not going to stop giving. They're not going to start coming. They're not going to stop promoting Mississippi State. But in the moment, they're pissed. And that's okay. I was pissed, right? You guys were upset. It's perfectly understandable because we make such an emotional and financial commitment to Mississippi State. And we don't feel like we're getting return on that investment. You're going to be disappointed. And in the heat of that disappointment, you can't judge anybody. Like I see these people go out there on Facebook and they're just venting. They're venting because they care. It's important to them. If they were indifferent about it, they wouldn't even post. And then, of course, there becomes this big back and forth. I don't like the big call-out post either. Right? Where are all the sunshine pumpers now, right? Most people that are sunshine pumpers don't realize that they are. And many of these doomsday prophets don't realize the same. I've never met a pessimist that didn't fashion themselves as a realist. And it is a life of delusion, I can assure you. I got people in my life. I got friends of mine. They forecast failure all the time. And I'm a firm believer in a manifest destiny. Like if you expect great things to happen in your life and you're willing to work for them, I think that happens. You know, if you expect negative things to happen to you, and you kind of move towards that end. You don't give your full effort. Well, what does it matter anyway, right? That's what happens. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. But the reality of it is we need to go win a football game. Simple as that. We need to go win a football game, and everybody will feel better. And when that happens, let's not go have all the call-out posts either. Oh, where are all you guys that wanted to fire Jeff Lebby? That just promotes division within the fan base. Let's just, when we win, let's just celebrate the fact that we won. And for some of you negative Nellies out there, there's no point. Well, about time. That didn't help anybody either, okay? We just need to unite as a fan base and just kind of keep things moving forward. And again, the chances of all of us getting together in a bar, having a drink, and in a fight not breaking out later, pretty slim, right? Because we're all very passionate people. But Davis Wade Stadium, Humphrey Coliseum, Duty Noble, that's where we huddle as a family. And we put all of our differences aside, and we go cheer for the maroon and white, right? And that's where we are, and that's what we need to focus on. All of this other stuff, you know, people are going to have strong opinions, and you see all of this coaching change around the country, and you think, well, we should do it too. Everybody else is doing it. We absolutely should not do it for that reason, ever. We should never do it because everybody else is doing it. And as I've said on this show for weeks now, this would not be a good coaching cycle for Mississippi State. Number one, not a lot of great coaches out there. right? Number two, a lot of big jobs out there. And we've got to be honest with ourselves about where we would be in that pecking order. And people think, well, you know, Zach Selman's a different guy. Look at what he did with Brian O'Connor. Yes, because we were the biggest shark in the ocean looking. Nobody else is going to be able to pull it off. A&M tried. They're not a bigger program than us in baseball. But you think about where we would be, you know, you're asking too much of Zach Selman. And I have no doubt that Zach would go out there and do his absolute best. But they're quite simply, there are just some better jobs out there. And some people willing to pay a little bit more than us. And so this would not be a good year for us to change coaches. So we need Jeff Lebby to win a couple of ball games. Hopefully one of them involves an egg and gets us to a bowl game somewhere so we can have some juice going into next year. Because, again, a lot of our contemporaries are going to be starting over. It'll be year one in a new system. For us, it'll be year three. This portal class is huge for us. But the reality of it is, and again, we could see some of this stuff happen. And I think, you know, this Sunday, there's a good chance you see some more openings, right? People are just not patient. I mean, you see what happened with Brian Kelly, and it was a bad fit from the beginning. But the reality of it is, we can't be reactive in this. We have to be very measured in our thinking and understanding. We don't need to fire somebody just to satisfy some fans that are mad in the moment. We got to think about the big picture. Yes, we are improving as a team. And as I said on Monday's show, the sad part about that is that our record should probably be 7-1, at worst 6-2. And here we sit at 4-4, kind of sweating this thing out, feeling like we're running out of games. I feel it too. I don't care if it's Liberty Bowl. I don't care. I just want to have the opportunity to have a winning season this year. I know you guys want the same thing. Nothing says progress more than snapping that SEC losing streak, getting an egg back, and getting into the postseason and ultimately winning a bowl game, right? All of those things are important, and they're all still in front of us. So let's focus on that. If you hadn't done so, go to DirtyNobleBook.com. You can get signed copies of all of my sports titles, plus When the Bottom Falls, the personal memoir. Christmas is coming up. It makes a great gift. And, of course, if you've got that smart aleck Ole Miss brother-in-law, you can get a signed copy of Flim Flam, and you and I can play Grinch at Christmas. And we've already talked to you about True Rest. And come join us over at JeansPage.com. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.